Presence of all committee members except representative of first person was excused. We have before us today three bills, 1209, 1210, and 1211, all bills that have been introduced at the request of the Oregon State Bar. We have four people signed up to accept these bills, Mr. Steiner, Mr. Richmond, Mr. Bandiger, and Mr. Joel, or anyone else who wishes to be on the list. Mr. Steiner, let me ask you this, you haven't indicated who you're representing or whether you're testifying for or against these bills. All right, you're number one. I want to advise you that this is an inquisitory type of proceeding rather than an accusatory proceeding.
Is that right?
Yes. And the policy of the committee is to grant you immunity.
I think you can just say anything you want.
If I can make one addition, before we start. The process is, the committee report went up to be included in the process of the committee.
Now, what are you talking about? You'll have to identify the bill.
House Bill 1209.
1209.
And it's page 3.
Now, first of all, identify yourself, who you're representing, and what's new to the bar that you represent.
My name is Lon Steiner, representing the function and organization of the bar. Before we get started on it, I wanted to add two words. At the page 3, line 1. At the end of the line before the word 2, last word of line, when you add the word 4 in the left. So it could be, members shall vote in and be eligible for election to the Board of Governors.
Go ahead.
Well, this bill is to amend section 9.02. After many committee meetings last year, we do a report that included modification of subparagraph 1 of 9.020, which provides for the election of the Board of Governors. At the present time, they are elected three governors, each congressional district. At the annual meeting, the committee sponsored a bill that kept it that way. There was a minority report filed which divided the decision to region. There was also a special report that was a hangover from the previous convention in Tucson, which would require one vote, required the Board of Governors to elect the one man to the table. This was debated in June, and the vote was 81-78, very close to 84-78, in favor of retaining the conditional district. And that's what this bill does. In other words, it does not change subparagraph 1 of 9.02, and continue electing the Board of Governors from the conditional district. It does change the subparagraph 2, and this is all new, and that is that subparagraph 2 eliminates judges from appointment for election of service on the Board of Governors. 3 provides for removal of prisoners on their death or resignation from the bar. Then subparagraph A is B is termination of active membership. Right now there's no way to get they put on the board that they were disbarred. He requires the removal of anyone who discontinues maintaining his principal place or principal office in the congressional district for the years from which he's elected. And he removes the governor once he assumes the position of a judge of the municipality or the state of court, or full time judicial office. And then the last thing is it provides a member of the Board of Governors shall serve as a full time judge. Now, why the committee was down on judgment kind of seems unfair at times, but then the reason was so long as the Board of Governors continues to disciplinary proceedings, that there are things that mentioned in the Board of Governors meeting that may influence the judge sitting in a court. In other words, we're all human, and if there's something said about one of the attorneys that's appearing before the bar, why natural tendency of the judge, if he knew something about one of the attorneys that nobody else knew, because he was sitting on the Board of Governors, this might influence his thinking with respect to the decision of the decision. So then, except this, we just eliminated the judges from the membership on the Board of Governors, and we're happy about that in the last part is, that's the all on 9.030 deals principally with a problem in Multnomah County. Right now, the statute provides that you should vote from your place of residence. Probably 50% of lawyers in Portland have their principal office in downtown Portland, which is the third congressional district. Although they live west of the freeway, which puts them in the first congressional district. They should be voting in the first congressional district, if that's now the evidence. By some mandate, the bar association can insist to have them vote in the where the principal office is. The reason behind this is that if it were for the indicted, the Portland lawyers, to in effect, because they outnumbered the first congressional district lawyer, elect two people to the Board of Governors or six. And that's not quite fair. And so the reason for the change is to have everybody vote in their principal place of for the principal office. That's basically what's still there.
That's it. Questions from the committee? Representative Collins?
Nice to have a TV report of questions.
What do you do with the
Long how many judges have been off the board of
none. No. The last was Judge Judy. This came up at the time she was appointed bench, she was on the Board of Governors. She was there for about 6 months, I believe, after the appointment was 40 years on. I don't think there are any other time.
How about this business of municipal? In some of the smaller cities, they have part-time municipal judges, almost ad hoc, some of them, who are members of the bar. They are eligible, under this bill, they wouldn't be eligible to be governors, right?
That's correct. There was some discussion with the committee on removal. Originally, it was written as full-time municipal judge, due primarily to Portland. The committee's thinking on this and their thoughts were that it was not fair to a litigant to carry the judgment or the member of the Board of Governors might know something about one of the attorneys. For a full-time municipal officer, then that rationale ought to follow through to the part-time municipal judge.
Let me talk to you, I want to talk to a young man on the boat. Then, the congressional district in which we sit right now is a part of Eastern Oregon. And by far, the greatest majority of the lawyers, I would say, would be here in the Senate. Do you have any people from Eastern Oregon serving on the board of bargaining in the
town?
Yes. So, who do you
have? He's off, he went off last night.
No, he's on the board.
Sure, he's on the board. Well, you have to go down, isn't it?
Is there anybody to say?
Yeah.
But theoretically, at least, you'd agree with me that in a situation like this, all the members of the board from this district could conceivably consistently come from the Senate, right?
It's very true. This, as you recall, the last convention of Barclays meeting, this was the third, the vote was very close tonight on the appointment of the board of governors. Pat Emmons, at the conclusion, stood up and moved to instruct the committee to reconsider this question. This passed, and the committee now is met this year, and lo and behold, Pat Emmons is appointed to the committee and starts being reconsidered, along with the House delegates. Nobody knows anything about, but we're just looking at it. I think everyone recognizes that there has to be some kind of reapportionment, so the legislature goes to the three prisons and congressional districts. What it's done for lawyers separately, I don't know.
I think probably the commission the other side of the problem is the legislature just would stay away. And it probably would be an internal matter just taking care of the bar rather than turning around what it was doing. Okay, thank you very much. Are you appearing on any of the other bills?
No.
All right. Thanks very much. I appreciate your time and effort coming down here. Appreciate your time and effort on the committee. House Bill 1210. Now, we have Mr. Richman, Mr. Banager, and Mr. Joel. Who is going to take on 1210?
I'm very first on this.
All right, okay.
James D. Richman from Roseburg, a member from the perspective of the Climate Security Fund Committee. House Bill 1210 is the one I'm using to read. This bill substantially is in the same form as any of that were introduced at the last session of the legislature. It's not that. In fact, I don't think it even got out of the one of the objections of the committee at that time, the committee did not complete, was that we were proposing changes in the Climate Security Fund statute without any substantial or any experience to go on in recommending that statement. This bill changes the Climate Security Fund in three respects. The first one and the most important I think is if you read from the existing statute the provisions that made it mandatory before payment of a claim that the claimant obtained a judgment, an uncollected judgment against the default is the cooperating order, or in the alternative that he be convicted of a crime arising. arising out of the circumstances of the deportation of that one or whatever it might be. The change eliminates those two items. It makes it discretionary and committee of persons and ultimately the board as to whether it will be required. As a practical matter, by thinking on the committee and every function, was that in almost every case you would require a conviction or an uncollected judgment. Probably had one claim come up, say about a brief deal with a small claim, a single woman, a lawyer paid money, some money to her lawyer to settle a lawsuit and she was converted to his own use. She was totally without funds and ultimately went bankrupt. He had to hire a lawyer to bring an action against the lawyer's wrong and obtaining a judgment before he could strike the money. It only amounted to some $300 ultimately, but in that particular instance, the committee felt him and believed today that it would have been far better to pay her original claim of about $150 rather than require her to hire a lawyer and a judge. Claim is true and theoretical, since the wrongdoing lawyer just punches even more assets and goes on paper. Like situation where it would be for practical purposes impossible to obtain either a judgment or a conviction. So the committee felt and the board and the convention that this situation should be remedied and the remedy for the mandatory requirement. The second change that is made, and the variety and the land is also an important one, is that it allows the expenses of the operation of the fund, that is the court reporters, the investigation, payment and investigation, all of those things of that type of thing you can pay for out of the fund itself rather than from the general funds of the bar. As it now stands, the general funds of the bar are paying all of those expenses. We believe that it's proper that the fund is set up for that purpose to serve the expenses. Lastly, it makes a change in the method of providing the funds for the fund. As matters now stand under the present statute, it provides that the Board of Governors, without an individual or anything else, may assess each member of the bar or each person who pays any duties to the bar. They may be assessed up to $5 annually to join the fund. Proposed change eliminates that and provides instead that the Board of Governors may transfer funds to the Client Securities Fund at its discretion in an amount which does not exceed $5 per active member of any one day. That is, in other words, for practical purposes, the amount to be transferred to the Client Securities Fund will be budgeted, committed in the annual meeting, and approved by the membership, contrary to the existing situation where there is no approval. As a practical matter, really only affect that particular thing. It would permit the board not to assess inactive members or the active bankers or just not active or something similar. And it would impose on the statute of amounts and the effect and assessment upon the judges if they are required to do. Essentially, that's the rest of the House Bill 2210.
Do the members of the city committee have any questions on this resolution?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I don't follow you on the third point. And as it is now, you can tell me what I can see the dialogue handling the issue of the city. That's right. Now, I don't follow you.
$5, up to. Under the proposed change, as I understand it, would eliminate that, it would provide that the Board of Governors could transfer from the general fund to the bar the amount that is proper into the Client Security Fund. In effect, there would be an increase in the dues to cover the amount that's necessary to maintain the fund.
In other words, you're kind of doing away with this fund. Kind of a separate fund. You don't do the wood tool or that.
No,
put the money into the general fund and budget from that fund.
No, the fund would be maintained as an entity under the proposed bill, but the contribution to the fund, instead of directly from the membership to an assessment, it is now does, it's come as part of the general duties and the allocated allocated over to the fund.
And what did you go to?
Yeah.
Would you not give you a bond plan?
Well, presumably it would be. And I can say that, and I couldn't say it would be the same next year under the existing statute because the board sets that up to a maximum of $5.
Are you generally in favor of the bond security fund?
Yes, I am. I like that.
How many claims have you used in the last 4 or 5 years?
We have paid one. We have 4 pending. I would say right now that to us from the committee, 2 of them appear to have merit and 2 do not. They are substantial claims.
So those kinds of judgments are
they are the 2 of the 3 good things that proceeding to judgment. The other 2 are still in the process of either commission or judgment that they do not appear to the committee to be recognized as claims.
So taking out the judgment requirement. You didn't have a forum to go to, and I know other than study working with you, the committee that you were not doing.
The only forum that the committee itself is going to say we have to insist. If that committee does not insist upon a judgment, then the only forum would be before the committee and the board. Rule of procedure provides for notice opportunity to be heard in all of
us. Going to adopt the
rules of practice, right? We're operating under them now. I require the service of a copy of the claim, of the complaint, an opportunity to be heard in the jury, that will be the rule.
Who's the committee made up of? I don't know. At the end of the rest of the board, board of
directors? Yeah, it's appointed by the board. President's Committee, Uncle John and myself, Peter Bobby Jr., at the time that we were studying this, There were no reports of records or the that had invited us up.
I'm not saying since they now have a lot of design studies, the members of the bottom will accept $5 a year.
I'm going to be up to $5.
We are going to accept $5 a year.
Yeah.
But, I know that the line is set up to the members of that portion. Because two members of that bottom are going to be two others that are interested in it. Let me ask you this. Given that the assessment is $5 an hour, you've got the executive option to push it around, which means that possibly $1 might go to the bar security fund, and another $4 to the bar for operating expenses to the bar.
I believe it does.
Any other questions?
Did you just say that out of the $5 that I pay in every year, $1 that goes into the
No, I didn't say that. I said it could.
Oh.
I said it could. In other words, the bar is a desire. If it is so desired, it can
take me up a little bit.
If it is desired, then the bar can be increased to $5 or just a tremendous empire, doesn't it?
I will deny it.
Okay. Jim, are you here on any other?
No,
just on that one. Well, I sure appreciate you coming all the way from Rosebud. Just to enlighten us.
Well, I
appreciate all your work.
The chairman must be young. I suppose we have a presentation we have to start.
Well, thank you. Are there any other persons that want to be heard on 12-10? Mr. Vanagon?
Just briefly, Tom.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm Jim Vandegrift, office manager for the Oregon State Bar, appearing on behalf of HB 12-10. And Mr. Richmond did a nice job of presentation as far as I'm concerned. I only want to make one comment. The assessment is not certified this year. 1971, $2 per half. $5 for 60, $5 for 68, $5 for 69, $5 for 70, and $2.50 for 97.
That's wonderful news.
I just wanted to correct you.
That's the first thing I've heard of an entry done down in 5 minutes.
Well, the fee went up
2 minutes. Did you have to revise it or not? Are there any matters regarding the Oregon State Bar operation that any members of the committee would like to answer now that we've done it in the best matter? All right. Thanks very much. Did you want to appear on any other bills?
No.
Donald Dole, who is also from Rosebud. The court must be closed down other bills.
No, the people who were supposed to come, like the chairman, my chairman, was also in Chicago. My name is Donald Dole. I'm an attorney. I live in Rosebud. Member of the Board of Governors, the Oregon State Bar, and Chairman, I was asked to appear and explain House Bill 1211.
Thank you very much.
As far as I'm concerned, Chairman, I have a little disagreement with Mr. Richmond and anything else, and so therefore, if there's something that you particularly would like to revert back to, I will do my best, but I'm here ostensibly for House Bill 1211.
Why don't you talk about 1211 in a minute?
Now, with respect to 1211, as you said very early this afternoon, there are things that the bar ought to take care of within its own self, and this is probably the classic example. The purpose of House Bill 1211 is to fix the beginning and ending date of the terms of office for the members of the Board of Governors and of the officers of the Bar. The Board of Governors are elected to serve Monday in August. The statute is completely silent as to when they take office. The officers of the State Bar are elected immediately thereafter, but there's a kind of a conflict because they are elected by the outgoing members of the Board of Governors and not the new ones. There has grown up since 1937 the practice of custom and tradition that the Board of Governors assume office at the annual meeting immediately following their election. At some time, and normally it's on a Thursday or a Friday morning, the officers are elected, and if they all assume to take office when the chairman adjourns the annual meeting for that year. And House Bill 1211 does nothing more than make this a matter of bar act. All these things. And it gives, as you said, should have been a housekeeping measure, but bar act is that.
Yeah. Questions? Don, let me ask you, you were shaking your head back there when we were talking about 12-10. Something about my dad's question about this tonight, speaking to the effect on the action of the compliance security fund. What effect it might have on this for that?
Well, that is the question, Mark. Would a claim payment or a determination by the client security fund in and of itself grounds for disciplinary action? And I disagree with Mr. Richmond on this basis. Grounds for disciplinary action are violation of rules of special conduct. Secondly, the rules of procedure of the Oregon State Bar are quite clear. The person's entitled to a hearing before the client security fund, you're not entitled to a hearing. And the final act of discipline, of course, rests with the Supreme Court, on which there's a transcript, a record of a hearing, and an opportunity to be heard before a trial committee, before the Board of Governors itself, and actually to file this brief. I don't think that a claim being presented or a claim being honored is even as much as evidence of a violation of rules of special conduct. Now, what they would use as evidence to determine the claim, most assuredly, most to be evidence, but the mere filing of a claim or the payment of a claim in and of itself would not be even evidence of a violation of the special conduct.
The reason why I asked the question is section 2, section 2 of the House of the Board of Governors of the United States Bar may adopt a plan to review or mitigate criminal losses to the clients of active members caused by dishonest conduct in those matters. Well, I don't know what dishonest conduct includes, but it includes such a thing as impliedly representing to the general public that a lawyer will pay his bills, and then he goes broke and doesn't pay his bills, and then he's prejudiced, and then he makes a claim against the client security.
I understand the language you quoted from may adopt a plan with the authorization of the bar to adopt rules of procedure for the client security fund. Now, what constitutes a dishonest act, which I'm sure it is, is an absolute defaultation payment. Basically, the Board of Governors and the Supreme Court and the disciplinary agencies throughout the nation don't feel that a mere failure to pay a non-professional bill is in and of itself unprofessional conduct. The fact that the lawyer failed to pay the milk bill is not.
I'm talking about bills in his office.
Failure to pay a professional obligation is considered to be an unprofessional act. The phone bill at the office, yes. That is not a dishonest act, is it? I don't think so. A dishonest act is an actual act of cheating. And that's the way the funding system has been, at least to date, so construed. Now, when I stay back on the one claim that was paid, I was on the Board of Governors, participated in that decision.
was sitting through months after the big tornado.
All right.
Any questions from the committee? Well, Don, they think they did kind of very much. All the way from Millersburg up here. Hope that the bar reimburses your travel expenses. Well, that terminates the hearing on these three bills. Is there any, do you hear anything from any of the members of the committee about what they would like to do with these matters? Talk to 1209, anybody?
First, I'll move to adopt the amendment on page 3, line 1, following the word eligible, the first word for election.
All right. You've heard the motion. Is there any discussion? Any objection? If not, it is ordered to the amendment be made. Now, on the bill.
I'd move 1209 and amend the committee.
Mr. Young moves 1209 and amend the committee. Full committee will be passed. Discussion? Any objection? There is so recommended unanimously. 1210.
Chairman, I move 1210 and 1211 for the full committee to be passed by the committee.
The motion has been a duplicate of the motion for both bills. You've got it separated.
1210.
Okay. He's moving at 1210 because of the committee. We passed. Discussion.
1210?
Yeah. We've made this agreement. 1210. The center of the full committee will be passed unanimously. 1211.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we send 1210 to the full committee with a recommendation. 1211 with a recommendation to table it.
The motion is not a motion for the information to discuss. The motion is made that she sent to the full committee.
I don't know what the cost figure is on running something like this, but I agree that it's really unnecessary, and I just don't think it wants this test.
Well, very well. Anybody want to respond to that?
I don't see any reason why, in the first place, it seems to me that it wouldn't be necessary to run after the first law, would it? Well, why compound it by spending the money to insert every annual meeting when that there's really no cost for it, is there?
Well, for the moment, to the point, I just tomorrow is coming down the middle of all the time. I don't know how the director would judge the statute. The statute isn't clear.
You know, and I'm not really a director. By revising the bar, giving the board the bar, governing the bar, to make rules, and operate the bar association.
That's right. Well, it seems to me that when you sit on these committees, the short time I've been up here, there are numerous bills that are brought forth like this, and
I don't disagree with you, and I'm not going to try to dissuade you. I know it's certainly a tricky motion, but I don't think you're going to accomplish it in this accomplish what you want to accomplish in this way. I think the only thing you can do is to be able to do it again. Requiring the Board of Governors to assume the responsibility for the bond, rather than going through the legislature.
Well, we had enough motions to table that passed on bills like this. Perhaps they come up with that idea themselves.
Yeah. Any other discussion on this? All right, we'll put the question to call the roll.
No.
No. Did you tell them I no. The bill is still before
us. Still not moving.
All right. Motion made. We have. Discussion? Call the roll.
No.
Aye. Now, those are all the bills that are before us. I would like to assign to each one of you the responsibility of reporting to the full committee on one of these bills. Tom, do you want to take 1209? Norma, do you want to take 1210?
Permission injunctions to prevent use of similar trademarks remain, even though the last competition seems tight. Smith plaintiff for discovery and trial court on appeal. Reasonable guarantees and actions finding since policy for settlement is not made in the time required. Repeal the death statute which requires that either passengers or illegal representatives to prove drug negligence or illegal conduct or intoxication against the driver or provides the pleading shall be prescribed by the parties or a resident attorney but need not be verified and that the prescription constitutes a certification that the best prescriber's knowledge is grounded according to and is not filed for delay. Authorize the payment for injury to purchase the property where, without thereby admitting liability, makes fact the payment inadmissible unless person paying his notice before trial the payment will be proved. Direct the payments do not affect the statute of limitations. If the person paying has given notice at the time of the first payment of the date, a statute of limitations will expire and provides the judgment to be released by amount of payment. Abolish his family, community in cases involving injury or death in motor vehicle accidents.
this part is served upon any other party or request for the admission of truth, relevant facts, or genuineness of documents, physical objects, requires the party answering the request to do so in a either admitting, denying, and explaining why it cannot admit or deny, establishing the procedure for objections to request and for disposition of objects, objections, provides procedures for discovering civil proceedings by use of written interrogatories, provides procedures for consolidation of proceedings involving common questions of law or facts in separate trials of issues and cross-claims where desirable or necessary to avoid prejudice. Authorize the hearing of cross-claims between defendants at the same or separate trial. Replaces doctrine of contributory negligence with doctrine of comparative negligence. Recovery is diminished proportionately to the negligence of the person recovering. Provides for award of attorney fees for the prevailing party and actions on contracts which consider to provide for attorney fees for one of the parties, whether or not the prevailing party is the party specified in the contract. Authorized law improvement committee with concern joint rules, committee on rules and resolutions to submit a separate budget to request an appropriation to carry out its functions and deploy an executive director to relieve the legislative council's continuous substantive law revision work. Permits the board of governors with the approval of the Oregon State Bar to establish a group of professional liability insurance program participation in which may be required. That's all the bar bill. Yeah. This is the PUC revises laws relating to PUC utilities and carriers, establish procedures for promulgating rules to public utility commission, consolidate certain procedures relating to complaints, investigations, and hearings, and other administrative provisions, eliminate some laws, obsolete provisions, and modernizing the language, obsolete provisions. And substantially self-contained statutory system for administration, motor carrier, economic regulation, and weight mile tax provision, simplified condemnation right away provision for utilities and carriers, effective 6th January 1972. This is that 4-year study.
I'm going to that on the testing box.
Is there any objection to the introduction of these bills or copies of this amendment? If not, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman, yes. I don't know where those bills are going to go. I assume the most of them are back there. If you could get, there is a package of bills that is coming in from the insurance commission. Set up the ad hoc interim committee on some of the matters that were considered here today, including our members in the no fault insurance business and all that sort of thing. But some of these provision practice bills are in this particular area. And I would suggest that if you get into that, if we come back here, rather than going to the National Affairs Committee, that we contact the speaker and tell him that when the government comes back, it's coming on Thursday also, not the legislature, because otherwise we would have two committees considering the same subject.
Good.
Keith, do you know when he's going to the office? I was talking to him last night about that.
they are so severe that that it's almost impossible to describe them. I was wondering if the committee would be interested in introducing all the committee bills. The bill with the transfer all internal powers of the bar to the Board of Governors and strip out of the statute and all of this regulatory stuff about the bar. Make the Board of Governors responsible for internal matters such as congressional districts, whether the judges should be acknowledged or not, and things like that. We discussed this with a couple of members of the bar who were here, getting the bar bills. Maybe we didn't have any particular objections, but I was wondering if they might be interested in talking up a bill that would take all this stuff out of the statute, all this internal management of the bar out of the statute, and that would be board.
How much of the skeleton do you want to leave in the statute as far as the instructions?
Simply giving them the power and requiring them to make rules and regulations and have to give notice of rulemaking.
Well, last session we thought about members and they came down and they had to vote on what the members had to do. Why in the world we should be voting on what the members had
to do? And yesterday they were amending the client security fund for that. And,
I remember the argument on the raising the fees or something, or whether or not they could submit to a vote or have a convention or to have a poll on it, not to be. And you'd be surprised how much the feeling there is about that. That's one way. That's all we got.
We've heard it about six times.
Yeah. Well, I guess Mr. Skelton's asking if there would be an objection if he would draft a proposal that we could look at that would do that. Or if there's any sentiment for it.
Well, if the committee's not interested in anything, I'm not going to spend my time on it.
I'll be honest with you.
All right. That's just an expression. Let's go. Very good. 1004. I've forgotten where we left off on 1004, but we have a proposed endorsed house bill, I think, I believe. Oh. You want to explain the amendment?
Amendment dated February 1, 1971. And those appear in the proposed and real bill, which is a little easier to read than trying to read the terms of the bill that was presented. What they do, in effect, is limit the witness immunity provision to a criminal proceeding in a court of record. It provides the summary hearing provided bar shall be held outside the presence of the jury and outside the presence of the public, and that the court may require the district attorney to disclose the purpose for which he seeks testimony. Specifies that the witness will be entitled to be represented by counsel at the hearing. And then deleted some language which makes it appear that if the guy claims a privilege and then didn't really have a privilege, that he could then be prosecuted for what he testified to. I'm not certain how that would work, but it seems to be superfluous language anyway. If he claimed a privilege and the court told him he had to give up his privilege, then he could be immune to prosecution for what he testified to. The language didn't add, I don't think it really happened. No, it does confuse.
What do you want to do with House Bill 1004?
Let me tell you.
Representative Skelton moves to table House Bill 1004. Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Paul?
No.
Representative Kelly?
No.
Representative Paul?
Aye.
Representative
Collins? No.
Representative Collins?
No.
Representative Representative Young?
No. May I vote?
Ready to vote?
I didn't know.
No. All right, now if you don't want to share with, do you have any other suggestions or comments?
Would the next motion, Mr. Chairman, be to have the bill and vote?
Well.
This is just a proposal.
Well, there are amendments that are in front of that, it could be the amendments that could end up with the bill reading.
I think I just have some printed out amendments, they sort of shudder up there when you ask to have a bill and vote unless the amendments are, you know, really expensive. I asked them to reendorse that gun bill, you know, and I thought the roof was going to fall in. I think that does ought to be printed out of them, so they get a little shook about that.
You know, you don't think one page of something.
That's both. Any comments about the bill or the proposed amendment?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would like to compliment our counsel on the proposed amendment, but it still don't remove the fact that you can accept that you're appearing in front of the Torquemada.
The what?
That you may be put on the rack. Given a time of peace or something like that, but
well, apparently nobody's ready to make a motion to pass it out. That's the member state of 2171. Representative Hollingworth moves that we adopt the amendment 2171 to discuss. Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Paul?
Aye.
I move that a section 3 be added to the bill. We follow section 3. Nothing contained in the 1971 Act shall deny to the witness any claim of constitutional right.
Representative, you heard Representative Shelton. Motion to amend further during the session.
Would you be willing to eliminate the word claim?
No. Anybody
want the proposed amendment read that?
I'd like to have read that without the word claim.
Nothing contained in the 1971 Act shall deny to the witness any constitutional right.
What it means is that what we said this movie up probably 2 days ago.
Chairman, I object to the editor.
I was going to call for questions. Sorry.
This is all the question. John calls for questions on this stuff. Most of them is just tell me all.
No.
No.
Who is responsible?
I know, voted against the Constitution. What is the president? This is the reason, Mr. Chairman, why I am concerned about a constitutional conception.
Well, you don't believe that slavery in our law is because a man has a constitutional right.
When this committee, okay, well.
Do you want to take any action on it? I'm going to wrap around with it some more.
Who's going to have to carry this?
Well,
let's talk about it a little bit. How about that? Come on, buddy.
Well, we just got to the floor with a few things.
Joe,
tell the technical guy.
Yeah.
What a motion.
I'm sorry, I didn't want to defend the board.
You did?
Yeah. I thought you guys would know what that. Representative Travis moves it to the floor. He passes the amendment. In front of the discussion. Clerk, call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
No.
Aye.
Aye.
So ordered. Does anybody want to carry it?
I don't have any objection.
All right, sir.
Don't
carry it.
How about?
Yeah, you probably be filing an order report. You want to hold up the bill for a while? How about House Bill 1125? That's Subcommittee Number 2. Who wants to report on that first? It's recommended do pass as amended from Subcommittee Number 2. House Bill 1125. Anybody on subcommittee or going?
No, that's number two.
Subcommittee number two.
Yeah. Are the amendments of February 2 going to be adopted?
Yeah.
I believe so.
You know,
does anybody remember the bill?
Good thing, I forget it.
Yeah, I mean,
how did the House Amendment change the original bill?
It increased the age to 21 years. Whereas it's now limited to 18 years.
Mm-hmm. And the witnesses appearing on behalf of the bill, I figured I had no objection to it.
No.
Further discussion?
These were the First Amendment.
Pardon?
Who submitted the First Amendment?
Both of those amendments were drafted by moving to the two different alternatives. One, the one not adopted, was meant to be amended. The discussion was drafted.
I think my broader discussion.
What's 127124?
That's the people have taken two directions to the women have been convicted of the court.
Any crime?
Any crime, because they're going to go to higher institutions.
first one.
For all sentences, yeah.
And it doesn't apply to first, a young person, and this is one of the.
Well, would these amendments affect the provision of a young person who's been convicted of murder as well? A juvenile offense.
They would have that authority.
Why did the subcommittee? Did the subcommittee committee consider the First Amendment as far as the race and order aspect of the content? Why did they decide that?
I think it's because we wanted to give the person a broader authority. I don't think that they're going to do it, they're maybe a race, but it's a juvenile, I don't know. It's another kind of.
Yeah, but here he might not be a juvenile. It's 2021.
Well, yeah, but he also might be a very immature, nice girl. Or he's 2 years in one day. Or 6 years, 6 months, whatever matters. It all depends on results, it all depends upon the view of incarceration. If you want to put somebody in jail, you could incarcerate them for revenge, I think. That's one view. You can get them on around if you want to. If you want to, you got to agree about that. You can get them on the ground.
Well, I'm concerned that you're limiting the admission to the juvenile training school to persons under 18. Where
it says accept the provider.
And then you are opening it up to adults who have been had been convicted of a felony in adult court. persons that have been convicted of felony in adult court would children who were placed in the family home by the DUI.
Yeah, I mean, Chairman, as I look at the bill, the safeguard there is given the vision of the training. But I'm given the correctional division of training, I think that mentioned the transfer and on an individual basis, maybe considered in the
Let's leave all four, start calling the roll.
No.
Now let's see. Keith wants to have this. There you go. 11.6.
11.6 is the chairman. The committee recommends the adoption of the proposed amendment to 129.71 and an additional amendment on line 32. Line 13, page 2, after the word 2 in the black text, insert the word examine and obtain.
Page 2, line 13?
Line 13, page 2, also 11.6, line 13. It reads now that children will be entitled to copies. And the recommendation of the subcommittee is that that be further amended to read after the word 2 into the word examine and obtain. So the amendment is that the attorneys are entitled to examine and obtain copies of the record. The reason why that line is considered is because the result that is.
Now, and then limited to the
have copies. Reports.
So, since we have inserted the word examine in a couple of places here, couldn't this the amendment to line 21, which is any attorney who obtains, shouldn't it be any attorney who examines or copies the report? And then if the amendment.
What about who?
Amendment. We've inserted after prognosis the word any attorney who obtains copies of such reports, et cetera, et cetera. Shouldn't that be any attorney who examines or obtains? It covers both situations. We've inserted the word examine in other places.
It is examined by the word sitting in the front. It has to be in the
front. We usually that we put that in there because we felt the attorney was bound anyway by ethical standards. But the probability was presented of an attorney getting the reputation that his office and then the tenant coming and demanding the file. So we tried to take care of the situation that if the attorney did take the copies out to his office, that he'd have to return them.
In the same situation, I heard the client come and demand to know what the attorney read in the file.
Well, the attorney for the defense is not going to be bound not to disclose the file, nothing.
I'm just trying to come up.
What the whole bill? What the whole bill gets at? No problem. Well, this is about the whole bill gets done.
The attorney's not going to be able to get access to the history project and get into their farm. Attorney for some time is not really able to get access to the court records to find the history project to their farm.
You got a considerable expense in the field, is that happening?
Yes. Not a lot of time.
Is it happening now?
Yes.
I'm quite sure I'm in favor of that. Yes, it's happening. All right, is there any further discussion on charges? Motion to amend. Clerk will call for a first call roll.
Alderman Cole. Alderman Cole.
Alderman
Cole.
Aye.
Alderman Cole. Alderman Cole.
Aye.
Alderman Cole.
Aye.
Alderman Cole.
Aye. All right, further discussion on bill. Superintendent Hollingsworth moves to this question. The question is, Hospital 1126 has amended the floor to pass. Clerk, call the roll.
Alderman Cole.
Aye.
Alderman Cole.
Aye.
Alderman Cole.
Aye.
Alderman Cole.
Aye.
Alderman Cole. Alderman Cole.
Aye.
Alderman Cole.
Aye.
Alderman Cole.
Aye.
Alderman Cole.
Aye.
Chairman, it would be helpful and it would be possible for us to get an agenda before the full committee meeting so we know what bills are going to be before the full committee would have been passed up.
Good.
And the other question is, we're working on before we get to the
meeting. It takes a lot of time. There's a lot of questions.
That's one other suggestion that did not the amendment adopted by the subcommittee be in the bill before the subcommittee adopted an amendment, that the whole committee then has to readopt the amendment, or is the whole committee considering only the amendment bill?
Plus the full committee can amend the
No, that's the rule. I don't think it applies to the history.
If you don't like that rule.
I don't mean that the substantive full committee couldn't re-amend it, further amend it, but it will save some time. I think that the amendments must be necessarily adopted by the full committee.
I just think something.
Well,
I think the subcommittee
the agenda is a legitimate criticism of will. But I want to say
yeah, I think it's true. I mean, this is the hospital 1127 that I'm ready to report yet.
All right. On Hospital 1132, it came from Subcommittee Number 1, recommendation to pass. It's
examine only recommended the existing statute to include derivatives. In addition to incidents, derivatives are obviously much easier to prove than incidents than the day when sterilization operations are becoming increasingly common.
Representative Crowley's moved to Hospital 1132 to floor and D-Pad. Any discussion?
Yes. Did you consider in your committee the policy behind this whole section of the law?
Yes, we talked about it myself just, and I had it. Occasion my own pressure. I mean, I have done a sterilization operation in his life about a year after that got pregnant, and he came to me and said, well, maybe that operation didn't work. Well, you know, pretty much money don't work in this world, and so forth. But then 15 years later, when he was getting a divorce, he wanted to prove that it had worked, and it had worked. But
sure you've got to reassure this person. How, at what point in time can a man who bought this chattel from his own family claim that it isn't mine?
The reason why I asked that question is we have a case in our office right now that involves this thing where a woman claims that the child is not her husband, and yet they were married and living together and had a baby at the time that the child was conceived. And now they are divorced, and the man wants custody of the child. She is claiming that it isn't his. And yet it is conclusively there. He says the entire time, didn't he? And now it's not a mystery. But it was raised in my mind that I know the purpose of this statute.
Look, we're not within the philosophy.
I'm aware of that. Yeah. I just wonder
the whole thing is wrong.
Whether it was a whole idea. I know the purpose of it is to give the child on the belief. It's legitimate by all children born in wedlock.
Who's going to be the utter chaos if they didn't have it? Every divorce case file of their children, that would be the threat on the part of the father. Mm-hmm. Every case.
Okay.
Further discussion?
Well, if there is anything else in the code that is fair, it's the father.
So it's not going to be some ordinary definition. Word of art. Well, Mr. Ward, you think it's going to bother you a little bit too?
No.
It's been standing there for years, and there is such a thing as impotence without virility. But impotence may be temporary.
It's a difference
in impotence. Virility, I am. Not. Well, it would be awful hard to prove that there was stability at the moment temporary. To go back and prove it here.
The more medically invisible the incompetence makes it important.
Incompetence. I don't think it's an incompetent to use the in my respect relationship with them. May not produce a high degree of satisfaction, and that may be some degree of incompetence, but not that impotence.
That's how I always thought that may not have been incompetent to the inability to perform the act.
No, that's
impotence.
No. Impotence is the inability to perform, etc.
I'd like to call the question.
I think that women have to bear the children. Well, please, somebody call for the question.
What question is
that? The question is too bad. Let's call roll.
Do I have time left for anybody?
Hmm?
Alright, Norma, do you want to carry that?
I think that's the one I don't know.
That's the green on
foot
record.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Hospital 1164 comes back to us from the subcommittee number one recommended speed pass.
It's recommended by the corrections division. They, at present, come on the in this country, has no right to marry at all. With the work release programs and so forth, they deal with that there may be insufficient history. It is wise, especially for the convicted felon, to be able to marry. One of them, of course, is the pregnancy of the fiancée prior to the time of his incarceration.
Equalize the burden?
Sorry, that's your definition.
Yeah.
Huh? Did you say you went to Davy?
No.
Okay. Everybody else is about equally except Tom and Hawk over there, and I'll take it easy on those guys for a while. So we get to see you.
Yeah.
How about you want to loiter a little bit? Let's look at 1177, and that comes back from subcommittee number 2 with the recommendation at the table. Council 1177. So I would take it that number 2, Representative Shelton, moves that House Bill 1177 to the table.
Before that motion, wait, shouldn't we have
you don't make that motion? You can.
I'm
right
mind on this bill.
All right, Representative Shelton does not move.
Yeah, but we just left the Board of Education didn't have much testimony, and it's also duplicated the criminal code.
Oh, yeah.
And that's worse.
Did anybody check this one against the 400 of Vegas that got knocked down?
I know, and I thought it was a little more than the one that was knocked down, and the language to the college.
Just maybe that case, but
you're looking at criminal code, you're trying to section 222 in there, that's it. I don't think it's the first
thing. Well, it's the kind of a bill that has a lot of, the people think, well, a damn lawyer could knock down a bill again, you know, that would help catch some of these drug violators around the schools, but in fact, we don't have any choice on it. We might as well say what it is.
Mr. Chairman, I do recall now, I'm on the top of the text, my memory, the only person who appeared in behalf of the bill was an ethical analyst employed by the State Board of Education. No school man appeared. The board of Tom Rigby, who is the lobbyist for the school board association, was sitting in the room, and I asked if they had any other schools, and he mumbled something, and that was it. And then they said, no, we don't have any other schools.
People are still to be going to the store, and they're continuing to oppose the fact that this line is 1922.
That's correct. That language appears in the vacancy statute, and there still be some law. Loading on the school grounds, when it's all about
what is it that the court struck down?
Well, as I understand it, it came before the Lane County Circuit Court one time, and it struck them down being unconstitutional language. The language is too vague.
And why is it a different statute? It hasn't been struck down by the Supreme Court.
Well, there probably would have been a bill that could do the same, but there's one proposal in the new criminal division.
So there is a loitering section proposed in the criminal code section. Oh, that's good. I didn't need to be stoned that night. I'm
Lawyers.
You still work for a while.
about the same thing. And a request to move it to the back of the board. Objection?
I assume that you don't take a roll call vote on motion to move it back to the
board. No. Sort of a unanimous consent proposition. Doesn't have to be, it's just the chairman. Okay. Let's take a look at the House Bill 1209, which is from Subcommittee Number 2. Recommend he pass and amend it. And it says Young on here. You going to report on that one, Thomas?
Oh. Yeah, first the amendment is on page 3, line 1. And following the word eligible, subcommittee on 30 amendments. At the request of the sponsor, the word for election is unacceptable.
Representative Young moves that we send out to 1209 as amended by subcommittee and floor to pass. Now I assume that subject to the separate committee vote on the amendment, that when we vote on the bill as amended by the subcommittee, that we're actually adopting those amendments and instead of taking separate votes. I hope you agree with that. Any further discussion? Questions, first call for first call.
Aye.
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 Aye. Now, House Bill 1210, the next bill is from the Subcommittee Number 2, recommended to pass. Norman, you want to report on this?
Tom, you want to take the over?
I think it's going to be it would allow the board of governors in deciding on reimbursement cases. It would give them more discretion, as it was written before. There had to be a judgment rendered against the party. The claimant had to reduce her or his claim to a judgment. And they had an instance which made it very difficult for them. A woman was paid about $300 to her attorney to have him insurance her claim. And she was bailed or bonded with the money. And she and Sam had to hire a second lawyer to get a judgment against him so that she could go against the security fund to be reimbursed. And they thought that this was really an unjust result in this case. And then they also conjured up the situation whereby you might have individual, the attorney, might just leave the risk that you could never get a judgment against them. So they would ask us to give them more discretion in the reimbursement on these matters. And we had a lot of discussion about whether or not we provided the proper forum for a lawyer to defend himself. And he doesn't have a forum unless it is taken to judgment. We also had a lot of discussion about whether or not this could bring up some problems as far as this garment. And it was our conclusion that it would not be an infringement on his rights as far as this garment continues to concern. And let's see, it also changes the assessment. I think that makes it so the addition set out in the statute, and what it does is it would allow it to five years to be increased about 1.5.
Without telling members that they're 25
yeah.
35
mm-hmm.
what they want.
Mm-hmm.
To try to get last time.
And they have we asked them how many reimbursements have been made or claims have been made on this client's fund, and as I remember they said that there had been one payment made, and they were presently considering four, two of which they thought were valid, and if they decided to pay that, they would be substantial, and would create a large drain on the security fund.
Well,
yes.
Yeah,
all right. What does it do? It eliminates the assessment. They increase the dues and they put that money, all the money goes into the general fund and then the budget from that into the security fund. So boy, really,
I tell you that if you had the members bar a hold on this, it would be about 90% against that. And I'm in favor of the fund and the secretary bar committee and we got it through. But another thing I think is we had the same approach in last session. And we killed it in judiciary, and I think this bill should be killed because I told them and talked to the judge, Ogilvie Young come down and testify.
No, we had Jane Christie and Russell Mercer, who was substituted for this.
Okay. I told him that I wouldn't support the approach they had last session, which is this bill again, because I don't think the Board of Governors could have the same power as the Star Chamber proceedings had. They offered the attorney no defense at all. He had nothing to defend himself. A person goes in and claims that they've been cheated by anybody, they have to prove it. Here there's no protection. You've got no right to demand a hearing on it. And I certainly wouldn't want to be put in a position of a unhappy client going making a demand to a bar and I not having the opportunity, the absolute right to defend myself on it and have them the right to pay out or honor a claim or consider it or anything else without my having the right. And I don't think any lawyer should get exposed to that or any doctor or any watchmaker. And that's what this does.
I don't see why they object to providing some sort of form. And we're, I'm going to say, we really don't have that many claims. They couldn't provide a form for the lawyers to be at, to be able to examine the accusers and go into the matter and know what's going on, rather than have an investigator embark on what they get their title.
Well, when we were posing questions to the resident, I think it was very standard, which is about having introduced the process, and that's what he said, it's just a master, but he said that in the one instance where they had to be defended, the circumstances had been brought to them most after the disbarment, so they felt in practice. There's nothing that indicated so far in that field that this figure would arise, but I can see it. The more money you put into it, the more claims you have, and the more inroads you're going to be making.
And after the assistant counsel, Marvin is right about what his client goes all the way. Everything's going to go in the general fund, but they can't put in the security fund. More than $5 on his memory.
Anyway,
What was the vote? I think it was just enough. Okay, House Bill 1211 comes first on the subcommittee. Number two, recommend the two pass. One.
This is another one of those heavy bar bills.
Okay, anybody got anything else? One.
What about the no lie?